Hey everyone, this is Steli Efti.
And Heaton Chalk.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about our parents.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So I think there's two reasons why we want to talk about our parents and their influence on our entrepreneurial career, what we learn from them about business and life probably. One is that I think both of us did an interview a long while back on the Zen Founder podcast. And for the first time, we both, I think, or at least I talked for the first time about my mother on a podcast. And you talked about your father. And it was super fascinating to me. And then recently we did an episode. And at some point, I don't even remember where, we said something about parents. And then we both went, oh, shit, we should do it. We have to do an episode on our parents.
Yep.
That's why it's on the table. I think this is
And it's been on your mind recently, like the last few weeks you've mentioned this. So this is a topic we might do more than one.
Yes, it could be.
Yeah, it's
it
good.
Could be. There's a lot there. So maybe let's try this. So we can both, maybe we tell the listeners a little bit about our parents.
Yeah, go for
it. And then we can go back and forth on what we think we learned from them that is influencing us today and that is influencing us in the way we run our business. So, yep. I mean, we both share one thing, which is that we both lost a parent fairly early in life. So for me, it was my father dying when I was six. I've been raised by a single mom. My mother had three boys. So I have two older brothers and nobody in my family was very entrepreneurial. So I didn't learn from my mom necessarily how to do anything in business or how to be an entrepreneur. My mom, I think, went to school for the first two or three grades. She started working at a factory when she was 12. She's been a kind of a factory worker her whole life, basically. So my mom is not the most kind of traditionally the most educated person. She didn't have any career or any business insights. Nobody in my family really did. But I learned a tremendous amount of things about my mom. My mom is my hero. If there's one person that I've learned the most from, one person I respect and admire the most on this planet, it's definitely my mother, hands down. And there's a lot of reasons, but all the things that I've learned from my mom are kind of like very opposite to my core strengths in my core strengths as a personality, because the things that I always had as a natural strength was I was overly ambitious. My mom is not that ambitious. I was always very charismatic or perceived to be charismatic. My mom is somewhat charismatic, but she's not very flashy. She's not like somebody that needs a stage or anything like that.
Are you saying you need a stage?
I say I enjoy a stage.
Okay, yes. Cool. Yes. Just checking. Keep going.
Yeah. But what I've learned from my mother that is influencing me today as an entrepreneur is how to live a good life, how to be a person of character. So my mom worked her ass off, never complained a day in her life. I've never heard my mom would like wake up at 6 a.m. to cook us. So we had like really a fresh, warm meal the entire day. She would go to a factory, work, come back. Take care of, we had all my grandparents basically died in our house. So my mom would take care of all like her parents.
Hang on. My grandpa passed away in our house. My grandma would have, but she passed away while she was having surgery. And my mother passed away on her own bed.
There you go. My dad, I mean,
so
my,
wow,
that's, there you go. Yeah, that's an interesting connection. Yeah. My dad passed away surprisingly in his sleep. He seemed to have like a virus or a cold, which was really weak and had fever and things like that. Nothing that seemed too concerning. And then he just basically died in his sleep. And then, all my grandparents died of cancer except one, and they all died in our house. So I went through chemo. We went through all these things.
So you saw the process of somebody sort of respectfully leaving the world. Would you say that?
Respectfully is not
the
word.
Or what's the right word?
Yeah, that's not the word that came to my mind. I saw somebody die surrounded by people they love them, taking care of them.
Yeah, good.
But I also saw people die, and this has influenced me strongly. We should talk about grandparents maybe in another episode because this is
for me, and this is probably just going to be a dialogue at this point.
Yeah.
But like for me, like my mother was surrounded by everyone she loved, like who was alive. Like there was like probably 50, 60 people in my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So the with my grandparents, I actually also saw people die. I mean, I saw them die in pain, which sucked. Yeah. But I also saw them dying with regret. Okay. And so that influenced me strongly, especially my grandfather. So in Greece, it's tradition to name the children after the grandparents. So I have the name of my grandfather, first name. And it, in character, there was a lot of similarities that I have to him. And I love that storytelling, the charismatic, they want to be on a stage, ambition, all these things are definitely attributed to him. But he was a man that had a lot of regret when he was dying. And so I saw somebody die that was not completely kind of in the clear with himself and the way he lived his life. And okay. that was a really important, I think, that left a very strong impression on me that that's not what I want to happen to me. But coming back to my mom, I saw somebody like working at a factory, taking care of three children and taking care of sick parents. And never, ever, ever complaining. Never. Like, and I also saw somebody who just got her shit together and always got things done. She always had like enough money to save and always was able to be crafty with the money and how she spent it. She would come home at like 8 p.m. after some hospital session, exhausted, sit on the couch and go, oh, shit, I need to like whatever, clean this, the bathroom, or I need to do some other thing. And she would just, you know, snap out of it, go get it done. And then half an hour later, take her 20 minutes of rest before she would go to sleep. And she would never, ever complain. Always being grateful for what she had, always grateful for her children, grateful for having a job, grateful for having a good life and friends, always working really hard, keeping her word at all times. And I think the most important thing that she gave us as children, she didn't help us with homework. She didn't tell us not to watch that much television. She was very soft. Like she just was easy to influence, you know. And I took advantage of that as a child. I would just bother her until I got everything I wanted. But she gave us an insane amount of love and security and safety. She was always there to listen to all our problems and all our stories. You never had to doubt if, you know, if there's somebody there for you and if somebody loves you, thinks that you're amazing. So I learned a lot about character, I think, from my mother. And there's some other interesting things I could ramble on forever, but I want to give you the space, and we're probably going to have to do another episode on this. But I know, I mean, there's some similarities that we've already discovered, but your dad sounds on the surface different in the sense that he had a lot more of a career. He was a doctor. He helped a lot of people. And that probably influenced you a lot. But I'm curious to hear kind of hear you speak about your dad, introduce him to our listeners, and share absolutely. Some of the things that you learned from him.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm overly curious. So lately I've been asking him more and more questions. It's just a really slow process because I don't get that much time to think about my childhood for a bunch of reasons. But I do think about it more than probably most people. And one of the – I'll give the story. So basically I was born in Africa because my parents, my mom and my dad were both physicians. So they were anesthesiologists. And then after India, they moved to Africa to work in a hospital in Zambia. And there's just a pretty decent sized Indian population. My dad knows a ton of people from there. And that's where I was born. And then when I was 5, I moved to New York. And when I was 8, my mom passed away in New York. The interesting things there that I think they definitely influenced me are I had known since I was about 2 or 3. So when I could start talking and understanding, I think more than talking, I had a very good understanding that my mother was terminally ill and she was going to pass away. So it was just very young. First thing I probably had to like understand once. And so that was like, I think extreme. Not in a bad way. It's just like you're telling your child that, you know, mom's going to die, but we don't know when and we don't know how long she's going to be around. So that was, I think I'm brutally honest, probably partially because of that experience. Because, you know, the clarity of that made it so that I don't have a lot of memories out there about like my time with her. I'm sure my dad would tell me all kinds of stuff. I'm still not at the phase to ask him about that, but I will be soon, I think. you know, it's just one of those things. I don't want to bother him. I don't know how he feels about it. And it's just like, I probably just want to wait, you know? What I do know is that the values came from that truth first. And then everything has aligned with that. So an interesting data point is I think I saw perseverance and determination as a child, because my dad literally applied for 1,000 jobs in America just to get here. And he was super lucky. And one person said yes. And it was this guy, Robert Bedford, over in New York. And at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and it's basically a hospital. I probably butchered the name. And my dad basically got a job there as an anesthesiologist. And they also enabled my mom to work, and they aligned with giving her the best treatment they could. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 1,000 jobs, literally. And it was like two tranches, like 400 and then 600. And they just went at it. And there's all kinds of wild stories there that he just used to tell me about, like that. And like, you know, I've got a fever one night and we got to go get the passport. And he's just hustling, you know? Mm. And it's like, so I saw this idea that like people will help you if you're just like genuine and you really need it and you can convince them. Because he just did that repeatedly. Mm. But you have to keep trying and don't stop, you know? And I don't think, I like to believe I'm nowhere near that. So I always think I suck at you know, all that stuff, where I'm probably a lot better than I think I am just by watching it. So that was probably one of the biggest lessons, but my mom was there the whole time. And so I think the combination of them, because like things that I'm not, I hear she was. So she was very athletic. I am the opposite of that, you know? So there's a lot of other fascinating things like that, because my dad is totally not athletic. And so my gut tells me that like they were probably very opposite at the end of the day. And so that was kind of my thinking around like that lesson. And then after that, I've just watched my dad. I used to say he's more selfless.
Selfless.
And what I mean by that is like I just used to think, and it's still true, that he would just do things and think about the other person, not himself, like ever. And I'll give a really core, really interesting example, because I think I learned a lot from it. So when they knew that my mother had cancer, it was basically literally when I was born, my father called his parents over and said, come live with us. My grandmother's very, very, she was very, very religious. Like her two sisters are monks in India. So they renounce everything and all that. And, you know, they do their thing. They're still alive, I believe. Yeah, pretty sure. And they're chilling in India. And India is the best place for someone who wants to be a monk. And so my grandma essentially was, for lack of a better way to say it, a wannabe monk, right? And I don't mean that as a wannabe. She was hardcore, but yeah, like that's what she was, you know, like straight up, right?
Crazy comment there. Yeah. So my grandmother was incredibly religious.
Yeah.
I remember... Yeah. Reading, so there was a book with like a lot of super old prayers. And I would, during a really tough phase in chemo, every night I would sit at her bed and read her, basically pray with her. I'm not that religious anymore, obviously. We talked about religion in a prior episode.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Yeah, I had a very religious grandmother in the house.
I think you and I were exposed to religion in a pretty hardcore way.
Yeah.
You know, just for lack of a better way to say it, like straight up, like it was hardcore. Like my mom prayed, my grandmother's prayed 75% of the day. Right. Like it was pretty intense, and it sounds very similar in your case equivalent. So yeah, I think that was really shaping. And so they had to move here. And since that day that my grandma and grandpa moved in and stayed with us, and they stayed with us until they passed away. And it was basically to help with me. And what's interesting is my dad felt like a prioritized everything they needed, especially my grandma. She was very, very, very needy. You know, very, very bossy, very, very needy. Whether this is true or not, I see a lot of that in my daughter. You know? Not needy, like do it, not needy, like in a bad way, but just like straight up, like you're doing this for me. I need this and I want it. And you're not, you know, there's nothing else happening here. And my grandma was like that. So I watched that. And so, yeah, he had this obligation to her. He got married once and then got divorced. And again, my understanding is that was for me. So had grandparents there for me, had him trying to get married so that I'd have a mother, remarried, right? And he was optimizing for me because they got divorced, and I don't think he should have married her, but she was amazing to me, like amazing. She like my mother, right? I've had basically since my mother, I've had about four mothers, literally that I can call mother. And now I have a fifth one, which is my mother-in-law. So it's kind of interesting. Literally these ladies have been awesome, but I don't think they got along. We moved to California and then basically he divorced her. They got divorced. She did take half his money. And I'm sure that was hard on him, but he did the right thing. And I was rotten to her at the end, though, unfortunately. So it sucks, but whatever. It is what it is. I was a kid and just lashing out. But I was a horrible kid, by the way. And one key thing is my father never yelled at me. I can't remember a single time he yelled at me. And one of my memories with my mother was like basically her telling me that like, he's really mad at you, even though he's not yelling at you. And I'm like, oh, okay, nice. Good to know. Nice. But like, he would never yell. He wouldn't even hold it back. He just wouldn't. I wouldn't even see the phase shift. I would just see like, okay, all right, well, we're gonna have to do this, and you're not gonna be able to do this for a while. And I'm like, okay. But like, I got in like more trouble than like most kids. All kinds of stuff. Whole range, like M80s, we'd play with those. And it was just usually me finding someone who likes to get in trouble and be like, yeah, let's get in trouble. I partially consider this podcast that you're like, I think you're a troublemaker. I like, let's make trouble together.
Is funny because I was a shitty child as well. I was like, I'm going to go to, if there's a heaven, my mom has automatic access to it because she dealt with me. Yeah. If there's a hell, I'm pretty sure that's the direction I'm going.
I'm going to go super deep here because like it relates to something. So we are and were very religious. I am very modern about it. I do the things my dad says I should do, but I don't really do very much else. But like in terms of like not eating meat, trying to be peaceful, trying to be at peace with everybody, like that's a very Jain thing, which is my religion. But one of the interesting things is for a while he was president of the basically temple down in Southern California. And that doesn't mean you're doing sermons or anything. It just means you have the responsibility of the congregation, whatever that means, right? At one point, while he was president, he questioned whether he should step down because I was such a rotten kid.
Wow.
I almost made him question his faith, dude. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's crazy.
So I totally get what you're saying. So I think it's interesting that we're finding all this out because like there's so many commonalities in upbringing that are so abnormal between you and I.
Yes. So there's two things. And I know you have to go, but we're going to record a second session to this.
Absolutely.
But there's two things that I want to say. One, an interesting one is that my mom was always almost too soft. I remember she really never was super strict with us.
Yeah.
And my mom had a brother, still has, and he felt the responsibility to constantly critique my mother for being too soft to us and telling her that we're going to grow up to be horrible people. We're going to be drug addicts. We're going to be in all kinds of trouble because she's not strict enough with us, right?
Yeah,
and
we're
getting in all kinds of shenanigans as children. And my mama kept constantly hearing that. And I remember us as you know, brothers being super pissed at my uncle for saying that all the time. But the funny thing is my uncle was super strict to his children, very, very strict, very, very like a kind of an old hard-ass Greek guy that would be like lashing out if things were not exactly the way that he wanted, similar to my grandfather. And today, so my mom has three boys and we're all doing fairly well and we never got into really actually any massive trouble and we all live really fairly good lives. And my uncle's children, they're in all kinds of trouble and they live not that great lives. And it's a funny thing to me. It's a funny example to me that I always say as a parent, you can almost fuck up everything. I mean, my mom never told us to brush our teeth. We were watching like 10 hours of television, never doing our homework. She did a lot of things wrong from that perspective. But we all turned out fine. Why? Because she was an example of how to be a good person. And we wanted her to be proud of us because she just was such a great human being. So it reminds me that as a parent, and maybe also as an entrepreneur, as a CEO, as a leader, you want to demonstrate how to be what you want the people to be that follow you, more so than tell them what to do.
Right? Well, and in companies, they call it lead by example.
Yeah. And right. You can do a lot of things wrong. If you live a good life and you get your shit together, I think your children are going to be fine versus you being in all sorts of trouble and not getting your shit together, but being a great like teacher to your children, telling them all the right things to do. I think that doesn't work. But then one last thing before I let you go, you said earlier about like having a conversation with your dad about your kind of memories from you and your mother.
Yeah.
And you said, well, you know, I'm not at that stage. I don't want to bother him. And maybe you should talk about this maybe later. I want to you should talk to him now about this.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to do it. But there's just I don't get to see him enough and I don't want to do it on the phone. So I'm working on it. He's coming soon.
Find a time to do it. I just recent example of this. So I've talked about the death of my father many times with my mom. I thought I'm totally cool with it. A few months back, my older brother, who was 16, so he was in a much tougher age when my father died than I was. He had some questions about the day my father died because he wasn't there. He was at my uncle's house and he came much later in the day after a lot of things had already happened. So he asked me and my other brother a bunch of questions and said, I always wanted to ask mom, but I don't want to upset her. And we told him he should talk to her about this. And then I brought this up to my mother. My mother was like, oh my God, I always wanted to talk to him, but I didn't want to upset him, right? So,
yeah, that makes sense.
So this Christmas, there was a morning where I grabbed my two brothers and my mother. We went to grab a coffee and we started talking about the day my father died. Like exactly what was exactly happening? What was the exact disease? What was my mom's experience? And it was a very, very powerful conversation. It was funny because there was a bunch of things that everyone had wrong. Like I thought this was what happened. And then my other two brothers thought something totally different. My mom told us something completely different. Like a lot of things that we just didn't know that happened the way they did. And it felt like a conversation that resolved a lot of things. And it was funny. I thought I talked about it many times. I was kind of had a good relationship about all that. And still there were moments where I got really emotional. Just talking about it made me, you know, almost cry. It was just, you could sense that this is an important conversation. There's a lot of emotions in the room and it's really healthy and important that we have this conversation. And it's crazy that it took, you know, so long for us as a family, for my three brothers and my mom to sit down and talk about this in this fashion. So it was a really good and powerful experience. And so I can only encourage that.
Yeah, absolutely. I already know how that works usually. And it usually has to do with timing, right? And it flows naturally. And I think you guys were at a good timing. And so I'm always sensitive to timing, right? And so, yeah, my consideration is more so like finding him in a space where like we can both do that, you know? And less so like not like any fear around talking about it. But one of the reasons is because we've always been more open than anybody, you know, like he knows everything. And it's not that we talk a lot. It's just that we talk a lot about problems. So,
yeah, it seems, yeah. I mean, it seems that was the culture in your household to just be absolutely super transparent, right?
Yeah.
Which is powerful.
Yeah.
So we could definitely going to post this episode in the Facebook group. And I want to hear everyone else's kind of parent story, what they learned from them, how they influenced them. This is a very important, very kind of deep topic. And we're probably going to talk about this some more. But I'll let you now run off to your next meeting and we'll hear everyone else in the next episode.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.